Welcome, everybody, to the inaugural episode of the Friday Night Gamecast. This is our very first episode, and we're really excited to be here. I'm your host, Nick, and I'm joined by my co-host, Will. Will, how are you doing today?
Man, I am tired. Worked out today, full day of work, came back, ate food. I'm about to fall asleep, but I'm happy to be here.
Yeah,
gonna
don't
get
fall
in some
asleep.
Video. No, I'm not going to fall asleep.
Whatever you do, don't fall asleep.
I'm not going to snooze on the mic now.
He's going to fall face first into the mic. That's
just
perfect.
Slam into it.
That's perfect. Well, we are really excited to be here with you today. I have been working very hard this week to try and get all of the things together for this show, but I'm really happy because I think things are finally kind of coalescing and coming together, so... I'm really excited to be here. So, you know, this is our first episode today, and you know, I've had conversations with you in the past about, you know, how we want to handle this episode or how we want to address it. And my main thing is that I want, you know, our listeners to kind of get a good idea of who we are and why we're here. Of course, you know, this is the Friday Night Games Cast, and we're going to be talking to you about video games every week. My goal is to turn this into a weekly podcast. And we're going to be talking pretty casually about games that we've been playing, enjoying. We're by no means pros. We're not esports players or anything like that.
Not at all.
I don't think we have any desire to be esports players. But we both are really passionate about games and the games industry. And I think that we have a good amount to contribute towards this space. So I'm really excited to get into it. So off the top, the topic for today's show, what we're going to discuss, and this is going back to, you know, what I think is going to be good for the listeners to, you know, get to know us a little bit, is going to be about our review and discussion of the favorite games that we've played in Q1 of 2022, the first quarter from January to April. Bonus points if that game that we played in this period of time
actually
is actually released
in the
2022.
First quarter. Yeah.
So that's pretty good. So, you know, off the top, Will, I'm going to kick it to you, man. Why don't you take it away?
Well, I've been a bad gamer as far as the first quarter. The first quarter flew by. Same January to March, it's been kind of wild. So I really only got the chance to play one game that came out this year, and that was Horizon Forbidden West, which was a heck of a choice, considering it took me 130-something hours to just squeeze all of the juice out of it. Like, I'm big on open-world games anyways, so I'm sure you'll see later on a new Assassin's Creed comes out, and I'm going to be the largest apologist of all time. But just ultimately, if you give me a game where I can get lost in, I can just run around and beat up on people, and really, especially when it comes to Horizon, hop into photo mode and waste a couple of hours just taking pictures.
Photo mode is incredible.
Yeah.
Talk about that a little bit. What is it like?
Well, the photo mode, I mean, it's really just an upgrade from the first one. So if you played the first Horizon and you really enjoyed the photo mode or just kind of running around in that big open world, if you played on that PS4 when it first came out, I think it was like maybe 2016 and some change, a lot of the stuff as far as the animations people could tell were a little lacking. I feel like maybe Guerrilla going from that first person to a kind of third person open world was a large shift, especially with the Decima engine. But in this new game, I guess just working with Death Stranding and Kojima with them on the Decima engine, they really hit their stride. The animations, the movements just are super fluid and beautiful. And even though you're playing through the game and you see these fluid motions, it just makes you, every time you come around the corner, you see a sunset or a sunrise, depending on how, you know, long the game is running, or you just drop into this giant lush green jungle area and then run through after being chased by a fire claw and just pop out into like a beach covered in these giant watery mechanical creatures. It just makes you want to stop every couple of steps, take a picture, check out some of the poses, you know, really get good old Aloy smiling all bright and cheery in this crazy dark robot world. It's nuts.
That's awesome. Yeah, that's really cool. And the thing for me for Horizon, because I tried, you know, last year I tried to prepare for Forbidden West. Well, technically it was this year. I had started playing Horizon Zero Dawn in, I think it was like late 2019 or early 2020. It was like right smack dab in the middle of the pandemic because I actually picked it up because Guerrilla released it for free. It was one of those games that they released. They were like, stay at home, play this game, and we'll give it to you free 99. And I was like, okay, say less. You know, you said that they're running Forbidden West on the Decima engine. Is that the same engine that they used for Zero Dawn?
Yep, that's the same engine.
Okay. But this time they actually get to, you know, perfect it a little bit more, and they're using it, you know, alongside the PS5, you know, hardware.
Exactly. So it's definitely a big mix of the PS5 hardware, which is just nuts. Makes everything look, you know, crazy. And then, of course, just getting more comfortable with the hardware, rather with the overall engine itself. I'm sure it was a newer engine. I think it was the first time using Decima. I mean, please quote me if I'm wrong, anybody else. But I think it was the first time using Decima was on that first Horizon game. And then kind of alongside a little bit afterwards, you know, Kojima was using it for Death Stranding, which is why they had a couple little like tie-ins between the two games. And I saw the jump from Horizon Zero Dawn to Death Stranding. I was like, oh, wow, this engine's nuts. Even though Death Stranding wasn't a super dense world, it was just incredibly sprawling. I loved how it looked. It's another one of those games where I would want to take pictures all the time. So I was thinking, you know, the second this thing gets moved over to the PS5 and they get a little bit more time under their belt with this engine, it's going to be incredible, and I was not disappointed.
Yeah, how was the performance though overall? Like, did you notice any like frame drops or?
Oh, well, there's two different kinds of performance modes there. There's the super pretty mode where you will just understand it's going to be in 30 frames and you have to live with that.
Yeah.
Or you can run it on the 60 frame mode and then just understand that it's not going to be as pretty.
Yeah.
I try to look at a couple of people here and there, see what some of their takes on before I choose, and then ultimately when you get in, you do it yourself. So I started off on the super pretty mode. I was like 30 frames. I played the last game on it. I didn't have too many complaints, so I wanted to play through there. And I had a pretty good time. Everything was feeling pretty smooth. Of course, being used to 60 frames, playing some of your things on the PS5, you initially felt like your character is like in peanut butter. But after maybe 20 minutes, your eyes kind of adjust to it, and then it just feels normal. But hopping on the 60 frames is definitely a nice feeling
when you're playing through. You never get hit.
No, incredible. It's like I'm playing Dark Souls for real.
Yeah,
I'm just hopping around. You know, the smoothness of the 60 frames is definitely not to be, you know, ignored when it comes to these PS5 games. Being able to play something at 60 and still look pretty good. I know people have issues with their shimmering when it comes to the 60 frames. My eyes are not as sharp, so I did not care that much. But playing on 60 frames, having Aloy jump around, very smooth, getting some nice video captures of ripping off pieces of a giant robot while you smash it in the head with some bombs, it's just awesome. It's a great feeling.
That's awesome. Now, something that I've heard, you know, other people in different reviews and talk about Horizon, you know, as an IP and a franchise, and something that I personally found when I was playing Zero Dawn was that, you know, it took you a minute to get in. It definitely took me several tries to get into Zero Dawn because they do such a slow burn up front to kind of get you in the world and getting to do those things that, like, it took me a while to find a gameplay loop in Zero Dawn where I was like, okay, I'm absolutely vibing. And it really didn't click for me until I went to Meridian. I did a couple of, you know, side missions there, and I was able to branch out into, because it's kind of like a big circle.
Yep.
In Zero Dawn. Can you talk a little bit about that? Did you have that same feeling when you were playing Forbidden West? I know that people have said it takes a while to get to the Forbidden West.
Yeah, with the Forbidden West is definitely a more of a continuation. So instead of starting at the very beginning with Aloy as like a child and it being a very slow start, almost kind of similar to if people played Fallout 3 when you start off as a kid and, you know, you're going through the motions as a child because you can't really get into the meat of the gameplay yet. So it does take a while. I think when I first played Zero Dawn, I also took a break maybe right towards the beginning of the game when you first become an adult Aloy. I was like, oh, this is taking too long. Put it down for a few months, came back, and then like you said, once you get to Meridian, once you get to that open world, I just completely got lost in it and played it for hours and hours and beat it. I would say it's not nearly as bad in Forbidden West. It does take a while to get to the Forbidden West. I think I was 30 hours in before I actually got to the Forbidden West. So once again,
30 hours.
Just me squeezing the juice. I was in the Daunt for the longest time.
I mean, it sounds like you enjoyed it,
though. Oh, yeah, no, I had a blast. I would come home, play it as much as possible, go to sleep, wake up, you know, go at work, think about Horizon, come back home, play Horizon. So
yeah.
I was on the treadmill there for the longest time, which is probably why I took a nice long break afterwards.
Yeah.
But no, it just does not take nearly as much time as getting into it from the first one. And then once you're into the Forbidden West, if you're anything like me and you're just obsessed with these open worlds where you get those kind of like, ooh, piece of candy. There's all kinds of stuff on your, you know, screen for you to just run off to. You go to do a mission, you turn to your left, there's some robots to fight, somebody needs some help, they need a little side mission, you go help them out with the side mission, you find a tower that you need to climb, and it just chains them there. I got on so many nights looking to do one or two Golden Path missions to continue the story, and then I would end up playing for 3 hours and running in circles. So, story of my life when it comes to those things.
That's awesome. I think in terms of gameplay for that game, one of the favorite things is that I saw on Twitter was somebody posted a video that was kind of discussing the accessibility of the game and how like there are a lot of options that you can do to kind of manipulate the gameplay to suit it to your style. And there was like one dude who was like running through a field, and I know how they have resources scattered everywhere in that game, and he was just spamming like triangle and just like picking it up, and it wouldn't actually play her animation of stopping, bending down, picking it up and putting it in her pocket. Mm-hmm. It would just automatically do it, and I was like, that is what I want. Yeah. That is what I want to do.
Thank you, Ghost of Tsushima. Yeah, they were learning from some of the greats. So.
Yeah, please. I love those foxes, but don't make me pet another one of those fucking foxes. So let's talk a little bit about Ashley Burch's performance. I really like Aloy, and I like how they write Aloy. I think she is a stoic character. I think that people's criticism of her character about being kind of bland and vanilla and not much there is valid. But I do think that Ashley in the first game had nuance to her performance in certain scenes, in certain missions. What were your thoughts on that?
First off, Ashley Burch, one of the greatest to do it.
Been, for real.
Been keeping on track of her
Tiny
ever since.
Tina,
Ash,
the greatest of all
Tiny
time.
Tina, one of the goats. And then I've been keeping track of her since Ash What You Playing, like way back in the day. So it was really cool to see her actually blossom into, you know, this legitimate voice actor. Yep. And then
she
just,
was a YouTuber, wasn't
yeah,
she?
Yeah, she was like, it was a YouTuber.
It was like her and her brother.
Some kind of like, yeah, it's like, I don't know if it was YouTube or Newgrounds or something I was watching it on. But no, I was like, hey, Ash, what you playing with her and her brother? Also, fantastic writer. Gotta give hand claps to Borderlands 2. One of the greatest stories of all time.
Definitely.
One of the greatest villains for sure of all time. But not to get too far off track, she did a fantastic job. For me, playing through it, I think just because of how the story itself is set up, and it's a little bit more focused around a group than it is just kind of Aloy how it was from the beginning, which is a part of the story, you know, not to get into too many spoilers or anything. But she did not shine as much as the group, which I was okay with. She still showed a lot of depth, still showed a lot of nuance. But
so you enjoyed the side characters.
Yeah, the supporting cast for Forbidden West really just, it's like having a delicious, delicious, moist cake. But then, you know, if you don't have a great side cast, you don't have a great, you know, people surrounding, you got no icing. Who wants a cake with no icing? You just put on this nice slab of buttercream frosting. Awesome. They did a great job.
That's awesome. Yeah. You know, any other thoughts on that? The only thing that I can think of is that one of my favorite things about Zero Dawn that makes me excited about Forbidden West is, you know, the traversal. I know they way upgraded the traversal, and then like you can fly on like the pterodactyl dinos on there. You grapple hook them or something like that,
yeah,
and jump on them.
You can jump on them from a grapple hook. You can, you know, jump off of a tower or jump off of a mountain, and you can glide down. Mm-hmm. Thank goodness they just looked at anything that Zelda Breath of the Wild was doing, and they were like, write that down.
Yeah.
So always a good thing picking up something like that. They make it much easier to free climb, so it's not as easy with like Zelda, how you can just climb up any wall and you had stamina. For them, you have to
climbing
scan
so
it.
Broke too. Yeah. It's like it's just jank.
Yeah,
it's like
it's
N64. Like here's a texture, climb on it. You know what I mean? And I like that, but I also don't.
Yeah.
You know, make it purposeful, make it meaningful. In my opinion, that's kind of how I
kind of build it into the architecture of the world, which is something they tried to do. They tried to split the difference in Forbidden West, and I think ultimately they did a good job with it.
Awesome. Yeah. So that's, you know, Horizon Forbidden West. I'm super excited to get into it. I'm super excited to see where they take Aloy's story and, you know, the sci-fi elements. I think there were some parts of Zero Dawn where I was very, very much into the tribal politics and, you know, her, you know, coming from the Nora. Yeah, she's the tribe of the Nora in the war that they have with the Karja, and even like the Karja in fighting. I thought that the Karja lore was much more fascinating than the we're just sci-fi indigenous Americans in this, you know, post-apocalyptic world. No spoilers, by the way.
No spoilers. Nope. Never.
It's been too long. You've had enough time. The sequel has come out. You've had enough time. If you're not trying to spoil.
You had your chance.
So that's not spoilers for Forbidden Dawn. Just come on. You know what the deal is. But yeah, I'm really excited to get into it. I haven't bought it yet, but it's definitely on my to playlist for sure.
It's definitely a must play this year. I would say so.
Yeah. So Horizon has been your main focus so far for Q1.
Yep.
What do you want to get into for the games that have come out in Q1?
Ooh, let's see. Well, I mean, there's the classic Sifu, which I'm sure we're going to touch on in a little bit. So
I
you're streaming that. It was looking pretty good too. So just between, you know, you playing it, seeing a lot of people just really get nitty gritty as far as getting the runs down, speed runs. I love watching those things. I'm never going to be that crazy, but I just love watching them and seeing how well people can break down a video game to its like base parts. So that game looks great.
Yeah, I love that game.
But there's a couple things on here. Dying Light 2, I was interested in after seeing some gameplay. I cooled off a little bit, but not nearly enough for me to not want to play it. So I do want to eventually get into that as well. And I did actually, I was looking, you know, over here as far as what we had going on for Q1. I forgot there was another game from Q1 that I did technically play some. I think I put maybe 8 to 10 hours, so definitely not a whole lot, but that Rainbow Six Extraction. So I did play a little bit of that. I think it was on Game Pass. So
you did play Rainbow Six Extraction. Yeah. That totally flew over my head. I don't know if you ever told me that.
But. Not really, just because it really wasn't. I don't know. Have you played Siege? Have you played Rainbow Six Siege?
The last Rainbow Six game I played was, I think it was Rainbow Six Vegas.
Okay, I respect that.
And that's like, I think that's PS2.
Yeah, that was, or 360. Oh, I think it was like, yeah, about three. I think so. Maybe around there.
Somewhere around there. But maybe PS3. The very last Rainbow. I actually enjoyed it wasn't groundbreaking by any means. It was no like Modern Warfare 2. But I enjoyed like the unique elements of like the tactical combat that Rainbow Six New Vegas specifically had. But then like of course, Rainbow Six Extraction, formerly known as, what was it? Was it Pandemic or Contagion?
I think
or
it may have
like
been
that?
Contagion or something. Yeah.
Yeah. It was one of those where it was like they were scheduled to release like January 1st, 2020. And they were like, oh, that's not a good idea. But what is the gameplay loop in that?
It's interesting. And I'm not going to sit here and act like a Rainbow Six vet or anything. So hopefully nobody comes for me in the comments. But, you know, I played a little bit of Siege here, there, probably about the same amount of time, 8 to 10 hours. So definitely not enough to get my feet super wet in there. But I thought it was okay. It wasn't really for me, but it was definitely okay. Extraction adding a little bit more of like an alien vibe. What it is, it's almost like a first person XCOM is what I was picking up. You send these characters who are all, you know, specific. Some are healers, some are built for attack, some are built for defense, and you control them when you go on these missions. Whenever you go on the missions, there are multiple things for you to do. For example, you can kill a certain number of alien enemies. You can rescue a teammate who had been captured, and you can save them from like this alien hive. It's really, you know, alien focused. So it seemed a little bit more up my alley. And ultimately, while it is fun, I don't think that loop, which is, as I said before, you go in, shoot aliens, you know, extract out, probably wasn't for me, especially if you're not playing with a group. If you're playing with randoms or you're playing solo, it's a little bit more of a frustrating experience than I'm looking for.
It's not story heavy, right? It's not.
It's not story heavy, but there is a story. There's like a through line. So they try to say, you know, these aliens have come on, they've infected Earth. We need you to help fight it. While you're going through and you're leveling up your characters, we're also working on how to more effectively fight the aliens. So there's a story there for you if you find yourself really excited and you're enjoying the gameplay loop. I don't feel like the story is strong enough to carry it if you don't like the gameplay loop.
Well, it's got more story, Back for Blood or Rainbow Six Extraction.
Oh God. We want my cyanide or my arsenic. Jeez. Oh, man. I guess Back for Blood.
Oh my God!
No,
really?
Nobody hurt me.
That's definitely
yeah,
not my thing.
Yeah, because that's what it is. I mean, they're both bad. This is not me. Sorry, I'm not gonna say they're bad because
it's okay. It's, you can say they're bad.
Like, I just don't enjoy them.
No, you can say they're bad. Y'all come for Will.
Attack me. Attack me.
I'm gonna post his socials on the thing. Come for him. He's wrong. I'm gonna do them all. Yeah, every single social.
I played Back for Blood with two of my friends, and I was still not having a good time, which is crazy considering I feel like I can eat glass with two people that I know and be okay. So I wasn't disappointed.
I
wasn't disappointed because I had played it before and I knew it was rough.
Yeah.
I was more shocked that I was like, oh, it stayed rough.
Yeah, it stayed rough, and it had such a, like, it had an alpha that I know a bunch of people played, and then, it, you know, I played the beta with you. Mm-hmm. I even streamed a little bit of the beta. I think, like, my Twitch account even still has, like, a maybe 30-second or maybe a minute-long clip of us going into the ship, like, activating, like, the mines in the ship, and mm-hmm. then, like, running out as the horde is taking us, and then shooting it. Like,
delete that footage.
They did a really good job of, like, those very small, localized, like, creating moments in that game, mm-hmm. but none of it was cohesive.
No.
And that was the sad thing, is that, you know, because, you know, Left 4 Dead was such an iconic game for the time that it came out. I wonder maybe if we've outgrown it, potentially.
Oh, no.
I don't want to believe that we've outgrown it, but it could definitely be the case.
Yeah, no. It was, no.
Yeah. So anything else you want to play?
Oh, man. Honestly, as far as stuff that's come out at the beginning of the year, I'm not going to lie. Lego Star Wars looks fire.
Yo,
I can't lie to myself.
You know me. I aspire to be one of the biggest Star Wars fanboys that you know.
Mm-hmm. You're getting there.
Obviously, a love-hate relationship, you know, of course, with the franchise itself. But Lego Star Wars, that's the weird thing, is that I've never played any Lego Star Wars game. Or any Lego game, period.
Which is wild, because the Lego Star Wars games, like, back in the day, on 360 and everything, incredible.
Really?
Incredible.
Okay. Yeah, I the weird thing is that, like, I think maybe it was me being a little bit of an elitist. I think maybe I just thought I was too good for any Lego content. Like, I thought it was, like, for kids.
Those are kids' games.
For a really long time, mm-hmm. I thought it was for kids until... You know, at least recently in the past, you know, 4 or 5 years, I realized, oh, they actually do have writing and they do have comedy in these games that's halfway decent. Exactly. And that, you know, people pay attention to and really enjoy. But yeah, I've seen clips online. Like, I think, I don't know if it was Suni Legend, but somebody did post, like, several clips of, like, fighting in that game or just, like, funny moments on Twitter. And I absolutely, it's right up my alley, especially since it's the entire Skywalker saga. And you can go from start to finish. So that's 100% on my to purchase list. I might wait. Maybe it'll come to Game Pass. Mm. Do you think a game like that will come to Game Pass?
I wouldn't be surprised, but I wouldn't really hold my breath on it. I mean, Game Pass has a bunch of crazy, you know, deals on there. So I'd hate to say that it won't. But it seems like something that they kind of rather people pay a little bit of money for.
Yeah. Yeah. Agree.
But what about yourself, though? Anything that's going on Q1 that you've either been playing, want to play? What's happening over there?
Oh, man. Well, yeah, you touched on the first one a little bit earlier. I was playing Sifu. I have been playing Sifu. I haven't beat it. I feel like maybe for how I'm playing that game, I could be 15 to 20 hours out from beating it, depending, because I want to do it right. And I want to beat it the right way. And so I think it might be a little while before, you know, before I actually finish it. And again, exactly like you, mm-hmm. life has been happening to me hard. Yep. And so gaming has kind of taken a back seat recently. And I've just been kind of focusing on, you know, work and just taking care of myself, all of that. So I haven't had as much time to dedicate to it. One of our friends who's appeared on several of my streams and we've all played together, Logan, he's been haranguing me, not haranguing, but he has been persistently reminding me that I need to finish Elden Ring. I did start playing Elden Ring. I am about 50 hours in on Elden Ring, my first playthrough. The last boss that I beat, the last mainline boss that I think I beat was, forgive me if I get her name wrong, I think it's Renala. It's the main boss in Rhea Lucaria.
That the Moon Witch?
Yeah.
Okay.
No. Well, so that's Ronnie. Different.
See, all these names, yeah, they sound yeah, alike. So come on, Elden Ring.
Every single name is going to be
G and R or
George
M.
Railroad Martin in that game. It's going to be a G, R, or an M.
So frustrated when I found that out.
Because he definitely wrote every single piece of lore in that game. Every single bit of lore that you're going to get in Elden Ring, straight from the brain of George Martin.
Godric, Godfrey.
That's a whole lie, by the way. Galen. Do not believe the things that come out of my mouth, because I'm convinced that George met Hidetaka Miyazaki and was like, he pulled a crumpled up piece of notebook paper out of his bag and was like, oh, this says Elden Ring on it, and dropped it on the floor.
And that's it.
And he's like, oh, okay, George, we'll just take this and we'll make the game. Don't worry, we'll put your name on it and we'll sell it and you'll make a whole lot of money.
Goodness.
I love it, but I'm having a really good time. Not to get too far ahead of myself, I've really enjoyed Elden Ring so far. Is it going to be my game of the year? Probably not.
Whoa.
I see, the thing is for me, I love FromSoft games. I played Dark Souls. I've never finished a FromSoft game, and I know that by saying that, I am immediately outing myself to all of my listeners as being a fake gamer.
Yep.
It's a skill thing,
whack,
right? You know,
whack.
You're just
you
not that
good,
good, right,
my
Nick?
Bro? You got to get
you
good.
You don't have enough dedication.
GITGUD.
But for me, the way I like to play games is, and the way I like to consume games media in general is, I need a storyline. I am a writer myself. I like narratives. I like understanding, character arcs and just having a really well fleshed out storyline. And I appreciate the FromSoft games. And this is the reason why I've played so many of them. I've played Dark Souls 1, like I said earlier, all the way up to the Ornstein and Smoke fight. I will say here right now today that the fact that I beat Ornstein and Smoke, no summons, I don't even think there are any summons in the first Dark Souls. Correct me if I'm wrong on that, y'all, but fighting them with whatever the hell kind of sword and board build I had when I first, nobody told me how to fight them. Nobody told me how to play that game, period, and I suffered through it for a long time until I kind of got the hang of it. I was like, oh, this isn't bad. And then I went to a graveyard and I was like, nope.
Whoa.
fighting them kind of made me realize this is what this game is about. Struggling and pushing through those walls and really, really digging down deep and then reclaiming victory. And that's kind of what Miyazaki wants you to get from any of his games.
Mm-hmm.
That he wants you to get that that euphoria of what he says is overcoming adversity. But kind of circling back, and we're not talking about Dark Souls, we're talking about Elden Ring. I think it is a game of the year contender in terms of everyone else's perspective.
Easy.
Very easy. And the community's perspective. I think that it is a beautiful game. The art design is unparalleled. I think for any of the FromSoft games that have come out, and I would highly, this is something that I definitely want to talk to you about, because I know that a lot of people are going to be like, what about Forbidden West? But I think that the way that they combine the gameplay in Elden Ring with exploration, and then top that with the kind of light, fantastical, high fantasy environments and lighting in that game is just second to none. I've never seen anything like it, and it is incredibly beautiful. Every single level, there's not really levels, but every single environment that you go to in that game is they're even within those environments. You'll never come across something that you've seen before. Every single part of the maps that you go through, it's all incredibly detailed and filled with content and filled with fights and horrific, horrific enemies that will absolutely brutalize you at every turn until you find that one spot to kill the blood chicken and then rune farm yourself to be a huge... Wait, no, I didn't
guy.
Do that.
No, never that. Never that.
Hold on, who said that? But no, I think that definitely Elden Ring is 100% going to be a Game of the Year contender, and I would be very surprised if any other game were to come out this year and dethrone it from almost every single major outlet's top, number one spot in the Game of the Year list.
Until Starfield.
Starfield, see,
we'll get into that.
Get into that a little bit later. We'll talk about that a little bit later. But yeah, so Elden Ring is great. I think that I need to learn how to play that game better, and I think I need to learn how to build my character in that game better. I have no idea what I'm doing. I add points to vigor and strength and intelligence because I want to have those big whoop-de-doo flashy spells, but then I also want to like hard bonk people with mm-hmm. my swords.
You gotta choose, my friend. You gotta choose.
You do have to choose. You can't do both. Yeah. The master, jack of all trades but master of none. Mm-hmm. You're gonna lose in that game if you try to spread your stats out throughout your character. I went with a confessor build, which for folks who haven't played that game is going to be kind of, you're kind of like a stealth assassin. And in Elden Ring, they have two types of magic in that game. One is sorcery and the other is incantations. Sorcery, you have to use a weapon or like a magical staff in order to cast special types of sorceries, and you have to actually buy those spells or get those spells from, you know, chests or NPCs, whatever, what have you. Whereas incantations, you can buy several decent incantations pretty early on in the game. They're not as the beginning incantations, from what I remember, are not as strong as some of the spells, and they also lack the, from what I'm aware of, because I have not seen all the incantations nor spells in that game, but from what I'm aware of, they don't have a lot of distance. They're not going to be like give you distance attacks the way that spells will. And I have just recently kind of dipped my toes into spells, but I love the NPCs in that game. I love the boss designs. Anybody who's been paying attention to the game's media space knows about good old Margaret.
Oh God, yeah.
The good old Margaret,
the barrier for entry,
the first boss that is going to make everybody do a hard stop and be like, "Is this game for me?"
Those foolish ambitions to rest.
Put them to rest.
Yep.
Put them to rest. You are not going to be an Elden Lord. Yeah, the interesting thing about Margaret is that there are a lot of secrets in that game, and I just realized, I mean, I've been watching like dozens and dozens of Elden Ring videos, as one does,
of course,
to kind of understand how to play FromSoft games. But it's so funny because Patches is an NPC in all of the all of the Dark Souls. I don't know if Patches shows up in Sekiro or Bloodborne.
I think he does show up in Bloodborne.
He shows up in Bloodborne.
Like a spider.
Maybe not Sekiro. It doesn't seem like a character that would fit into Sekiro.
Yeah, I'm not sure about Sekiro.
But he is in Elden Ring, and he's kind of like he's the mainstay of the franchise, and he sells characters, and you can find him pretty. Or he's in the first area. He is in Limgrave, which is the introductory area that you will hit once you walk out of that little, you know, tutorial part.
And
that's going to be something where you explore. You can find him in Limgrave, and he actually sells you an item. This isn't really spoilers. You have to try really, really hard to spoil FromSoft games, but he sells you an item that allows you to fight Margaret in an effective way, that if you use that item during the fight, it will pin Margaret to the floor, and so you can wail on him three or four times before he gets up. And I don't think it's a one and done thing. I think maybe you can do it a couple times, but it does have to recharge.
Okay.
And I think it does consume mana. Anytime you do any type of magic, you have to consume mana.
Some kind of mana,
and
for
so
sure.
You have to do a delicate balance of how many Estus flasks, or I forget, like rune flasks. I can forget what they call it in this game. I think it's like a rune flask, but or how much health do you want, and how much mana replenishment do you want in that game? And that's always going to be a delicate balance, and something that everyone has to. If anybody who's listening wants to get into Elden Ring and gets the game, think about how you want to do that, because you're either going to be a glass cannon and body everybody from a distance, yep, or you're going to do what a lot of the Elden Ring tryhards do, is you're going to load up on Estus flasks and get in bosses' faces, which I think there are legitimate arguments for each playstyle. But needless to say, I think you've watched me play a little bit. I struggled with the Tree Sentinel.
Yeah, Tree Sentinel's that guy.
I wasn't even a low level when I fought the Tree Sentinel, and I struggled. So that kind of gives you an indication on where I'm at. But it's always, it takes me longer to learn boss animations and boss mechanics in those games than I think probably you or other professional players. I know that you kind of, you've played other FromSoft games before, but I know that this is on your list to play, even though we've had several conversations and you said that I'm never playing that
game,
right?
I don't like FromSoft. Well, it's not even that I'm never playing that. I just don't like FromSoft games, but you just feel inclined with, you know, the conversation around it and you get wrapped all up in everything going on. It's just like, oh, I might as well give it a shot. Can't sit here and say, oh, I don't like it or I'm not a fan if you haven't even tried it out. So I'm sure eventually I'm going to jump into the, what is it, the Lands Between?
Yep, the Lands Between.
I'm probably going to get up to maybe Godric, get incredibly frustrated and stop playing.
Yeah.
That sounds about right.
Godric wasn't hard. You just have to, I say that, and I also Logan summoned when I fought him, and he was a super duper high level with high level like equipment. So I say that he wasn't hard, but I fought him, you know, with another player. He didn't like outlight. He didn't outright mainline that boss for me though.
Okay, what he didn't Logan carry does you. Is okay, he, okay.
He'll like stand on the outskirts of the arenas. He'll let me fight until he sees, oh, Nick's in trouble, and then he'll go in and aggro the boss for me so I can take my time to recover. Which honestly, if anybody wants to play the game and they think that they're not good at FromSoft games, that's the way to play it and enjoy it. Because even if you get a little bit of help, you still get that same amount of fulfillment to say, I just fought a really hard boss and I beat it.
True.
You know,
there's nothing wrong with asking for help.
As long as you're the one who swings the final blow.
As long as you get the last hit.
You get to say, I killed that boss, in my opinion. But yeah, again, I think that, you know, Elden Ring, is it a 10 out of 10? For me, it's not. Ooh. I would say that it's definitely an 8.5 out of 10.
And
it's not even, I don't even think that it's the best Dark Souls game that they put out there. I said 8.5, not 8, by the way.
Okay, there you go. Give them that half a star.
I'm making everyone mad. I can tell right now as I'm saying this. But yeah, you know, the thing is that for the reason why it's an 8.5, it has nothing to do with the gameplay, the mechanics, the performance. It is what it is in those FromSoft games. FromSoft always historically has struggled when they release games to actually give their audience kind of adequate support when it comes to doing regular updates to clear up performance issues. They've hit several updates that will address gameplay issues in terms of people cheesing and doing things that they're not supposed to in the game, like phasing through, you know, fog walls without activating a boss mechanic and then basically just killing that boss. There's this one boss where there's one thing that people tried to do for that in one infamously hard boss to try and kill him, and they patched that out. They patched out some other cheesy stuff, like they nerfed, I really wanted to get the Sword of Night and Flame, and I ended up getting it, but by the time I got it, they already nerfed it. Mm-hmm. So I was like, oh no, that's very sad. But going back to kind of like my overall top level thoughts on like where it's going to rank for me personally, I think that it, you know, it has every right to be considered on people's list for being the game of the year. It is not my game of the year. That's all I'll say.
Okay.
And that has nothing to do. I actually really enjoy what I understand about the lore. I can't really get too deep into it because I don't feel like I'm knowledgeable enough.
I don't think anybody is.
Yeah, I agree with you. I feel like there are probably very few people out there who are knowledgeable enough, but you really have to dig deep and unpack every little minute detail. Look at all the flavor text for every single weapon, every single armor set, and, you know, take it from there. But still, I think it's going to be a very great game, and it is, in my opinion, I think it is a must play. I think for 2022, if you don't play any games this year, at least give Elden Ring the old college try. Or should you wait for a sale? Maybe a summertime sale?
Probably.
Maybe a holiday sale?
Maybe.
But I still think that it is a must play for everyone because of, not only just because of the achievements that FromSoft, you know, has had in the past, as well as with Elden Ring, but because of like how Elden Ring has impacted the gaming space and what other developers are going to do to try and copy FromSoft in their own games.
Looking at you,
everybody,
Ubisoft.
Up until now, whenever you have an open world, everybody will talk to you until you're bleeding out of your eyes about how that game is basically just a copy of Breath of the Wild. Now everybody's going to be doing that for Elden Ring, and there's a reason, because both of those are, you know, games of the decade.
Mm-hmm.
In my opinion, and which is kind of a weird thing to say.
Not your game of the year, game of the year, but it's your game of the decade. But I think that
when I say that, it's just because it's so important into how it's changed the game and how it's switching up the way that people play. So that's kind of where I put that. How would you rank Horizon?
Horizon? Oh, let's see.
If you had to put a number.
If I had to put a number on it, honestly, I think 8.5 sounds about right. Okay. 8.5.
So both 8.5 games.
Yeah. It's really, really good. If you like the first one, then you'll probably love the second one. They do nothing but improve on it. But I can't honestly say that if you didn't like the first one, whether it be from a story or a gameplay perspective, that they did enough to convince you.
Interesting. See, I love the story from Horizon.
Yeah, so if you like the story, you'll like the story from Forbidden West, too. Like, especially when you said sci-fi, once again, no spoilers, but they do start to lean very heavily into the sci-fi, which
that's
is a nice
what I
thing.
Liked. That's what thing. I liked about that game. I really, you know, if they had Aloy walking around the world and she interacted with the NPCs in that, you know, that world the same way that you do in Elden Ring, I would have been fine as long as you gave me the sci-fi storyline. That they gave you in the first game. So I'm really excited to get into it. So 8.5 for both of those. Sifu, I haven't beat, but I will beat. So I think I'm going to hold off on giving I'm not going to put a number on it yet because I really do want to finish that game because that is a game I will finish. I can't say for sure whether or not Elden Ring is a game I will finish just because of time. I think we've both learned that as we've grown older, that time and the way that, you know, games treat us, time has become a big concern.
Yep, for sure.
But I will say that I'm going to try. So that's something. But yeah, so those are the two games that I have played that have released in Q1 so far this year. In terms of, I've also played Shredders. I played the hell out of Shredders, much
yeah,
to
your
chagrin.
Yeah, you got to talk about Shredders a lot. Because you have been very hype on this game that I had no idea existed until you decided to become, like, the world's biggest Shredder stan. Like, I'm going to get you a hoodie or something.
I'm a Shredder stan, but I also, like, am willing to admit that it's not a great game.
I love those kind of games, though. I love those games where you can be honest with yourself.
You know, it's like it's not even a good snowboarding game, but I like it. It gives me just enough. Because, I mean, the last time I had a good snowboarding game was SSX Tricky.
Yep.
On what, the PS2?
Yeah, PS2, Xbox, yeah.
Yeah, and I think maybe probably they had like a remaster or something like that. And then I played another SSX later on.
SSX 3.
Yeah, that's probably, I think I played
little,
that. And
it was a little butt. But it did give me the Foster the People album. It introduced me to that, so I'll always like it for that.
Not only did it introduce you to the Foster the People album, but then you introduced me to that album. Was it Torches?
It was Torches, because Houdini was on SSX 3, and I was like, this game is cheeks, but this song, song is slaps. Good. And then this I was like, who does this? And you went, listen, it's the same dudes that did Pumped Up Kicks. And I was like, wow, this whole album is crazy. So
Reminds me of...
Respect.
Yeah, that reminds me of Madden NFL 2006. I like Madden games. Let's just pair that.
I was like, crazy.
I used to play Madden games when I was a kid because, you know, I had a lot of time on my hands and I love football. And I used to have a good time just, you know, messing around. And Madden 2006, I think, was one of the first games that they had where you had like a mechanic in there where you could have like your own storyline, I think. You're like a rookie and you've come into the NFL and you're going to have a career. And so this is your solo career and you can choose whatever team you want to play on and you can choose whatever position that you want to play. And so I was like, I'm going to play on the Steelers and I'm going to be a receiver and I'm going to, you know, run a Hail Mary every five plays and get a touchdown and the score is going to be in the hundreds and it's going to be ridiculous. But they had like the menu music for that game was unparalleled. Avenged Sevenfold. They had Paramore. They definitely had Fall Out Boy on there. They had some really, really good songs on that. And I think that's like definitely in sports games. If you're going to do anything, you better make sure that you have good sound design and good soundtracks.
Agreed.
On there. So that's where I am. But Shredder is a great game. It's so for people who you know, haven't played snowboarding games, SSX Tricky is not a sim game. It is a snowboard arcade game.
Yes.
Where you just press buttons and you do cool tricks. Heck, and yeah, you can go down really cool environments and levels. Shredders is not that. Shredders is you're going to go to Norway or Sweden or where some fake place that's based off the Swiss Alps, I think. Mm-hmm. And it basically, they have you play as this character and you're running around with these two. You're basically YouTubers and you're running around and you're just getting into shenanigans on this snowboarding park. And the people there are like, what the fuck are you doing? Like, why are you messing up this event that I spent months to design?
Oh, I didn't know you were doing that.
And then
guy.
And then you go and do a trick and they're like, oh, you're pretty cool. Yeah, or let's see if I can do this accent.
Oh no.
Oh, you're pretty cool, man. Let's go up to the top of the mountain and
So they're Irish now. Wow. I didn't realize.
They're definitely Irish. No, but yeah, this is a sim snowboarding game where you have to pay attention to how you're controlling your character. You have to time your jumps right. You have to pre-wind your character's body in order to do spins, to do 1080s. And so you're moving the controller to the extent where you're going towards a jump. You're pressing, you know, the right trigger to get ready for the jump. You're moving the right stick to pre-wind your character's body. And then right when you hit the lip of that jump, you're releasing the right trigger. You're spinning the opposite direction. And then you're holding down another button. And then you're pressing a button in order to do a grab while you're spinning. And then if you can learn how to do it right, you can actually do like a rodeo. Or a it's like the rodeos in snowboarding, as well as... not, they're not casseroles, but it's like one of them is a rodeo, and that's where you're doing basically like a front flip as well as spinning at the same time. So your body rotating really, really fast as well as you're flipping. People do it and like they're very successful at it. But I don't know if you can like do some of the things in real life that you do in the game. Like you can do like a 1260 rodeo method and land it and get like 5,000 points, and it's great. And you continue to do, and you do that like five more times down the mountain, whereas you would definitely be dead in real life. Yeah,
it's like, who put their fighting game in my snowboarding game? It's too many buttons to press.
Yeah, no, like it took me a while to sit there, and I think that's maybe what kind of hooked me, was the fact that I have to sit here and actually learn how to play this right, how to actually use the control scheme to make my characters do what I want them to do.
Oh, but so you can get good at Shredders. When it comes to Elden Ring, we're over here struggling. Yo, we're
dude,
struggling.
You're gonna do me like that? Well, you're gonna really do me like that. He did it, y'all. Oh my goodness. No, I won't even say I got good at Shredders. I basically just completed all of the missions.
Well, that's good
Shredders.
Though. That's a good job.
Yeah, I guess I beat it, but it's like very like anticlimactic. It doesn't, you know, that you do like one final level and like the last level is like a race. It's like an invitational, and you're racing against, you meet a bunch of actual real life pro snowboarders in that game, which I think is cool, it's but they neat. Also have those pro snowboarders do all the voice acting in that game.
No,
and don't get me wrong, like idea. Shout out to them for doing that. But at the same time, like, they didn't do like the best job voice acting, so it is what it is. You take the good with the bad. But definitely for me, it's just fun grinding, shredding the gnar, as Snowbike Mike likes to say, and just having a good time with that there. So yeah, Shredders, fun game. I'm not even gonna bother rating it, because if you like snowboarding games and you like indie games, give it a try. Give it a shot. And if you like Sims, give it a shot. But, you know, for everyone else, if that doesn't check any of your boxes, move on. Yeah. Don't waste your time.
Because as far as the gameplay goes, it sounds like it's more skate than Tony Hawk, if you're comparing it to skateboarding games.
Definitely. Okay. Definitely more skate. I never played skate.
I've heard nothing but good things about skate. People are still waiting for Skate 4.
Yeah, people are definitely waiting for Skate 4.
Skate
I've heard
5.
That a lot.
It's one of the two.
But yeah, it's very, very Sim-focused. Not button mashy at all. But needless to say, that is what I have played so far in Q1. I've also dabbled a little bit in some other Game Pass games. Like, I played like the first level of Guardians, which I know is on your to-do list. Yeah. And I've also played a little bit of Death's Door, which is a really fun game. I'm surprised that Death's Door isn't actually on my list that I have here on the dock, but I think that maybe because it came out last year,
might have.
And it just came to Game Pass, so it didn't come out. It's been out, but it's now on Game Pass, which is the reason why I played it. But yeah, I have my Xbox console full of Game Pass games that I haven't played, just because there's so many good games and not enough time. But
backlog be crazy.
We're gonna have an exclusive episode that's gonna talk about
just about backlog.
We're gonna have an exclusive episode about backlog.
Block out 2 hours of your life.
Really fun. It's gonna be really fun. We're gonna make our audience very angry. I keep saying that. This is our first episode.
I promise.
I don't want to make you guys angry. You might get that way. I think having an emotional reaction is a good thing.
True.
Call me one Neil way Druckmann. Or the other, but as long as you care enough to say, Nick, play the game, that is going to make me very happy. True. And my goal for this podcast is to make you all happy listening to both myself and Will. Mm-hmm. So, looking at this list right here, I'm not going to play Monster Hunter Rise. I've never played any Monster Hunter game before.
Oh, man, I recommend World. World's
yeah,
great.
Everybody says World. I'm excited. I don't know if I have enough bandwidth to dedicate myself to that franchise, and I know World is like a 120-hour game.
It's a big ask. You have to really get into the nitty-gritty with like cooking food before you go out into a fight. And
cooking
then using
food?
Yeah, it gets crazy. Me. But wait, though. We were just talking the other day about how good anime food looks. That food in Monster Hunter World? Crazy.
Okay.
Nutty. The little cats, they put together these succulent dishes in like... They have these nice little cutscenes that play out when they're making the food.
Okay.
Exquisite.
Okay.
Fantastic. I would eat at a restaurant.
I'll give it enough time to see the cats make me food.
At least watch the video of the cats making you food. See if that makes you want to play.
YouTube.
Exactly.
I'll put it up on YouTube. God of War 2018 came to the PC on January 14th.
Yeah. Fantastic.
Yeah. God of War... I've said it before. I've said it to some other folks that I've talked to in the podcasting community that is, and I think I've talked with you about this, Will, before, but God of War probably is one of my all-time favorite modern games.
Yep.
Like, easy. Like it's up there.
It's a top five.
And it's very hard for me to say one game is the best game ever. I don't think I will ever say that because that's just not how I think about media or like the game medium in general. But God of War is a game that if you own a PlayStation 4 or 5, you have to play it. You have no excuse. It's free if you have the PlayStation Plus collection.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to probably talk about the PlayStation Plus collection on some future episodes when we kind of dig into the what they have done to change the PlayStation subscription model.
Yep.
And how they've switched that up recently. But yeah, God of War, a must play. Again, you know, Rainbow Six, I'm not going to play that.
Nah, I don't recommend it.
Pokemon Legends Arceus or Arceus, whatever, however you want to say it. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to play that either because they're coming out with Violet and what's the other color?
Scarlet.
Scarlet and Violet. They're coming out with Scarlet and Violet.
Violet Chachki and Scarlet Envy. Shout out to the girls.
I want to play Fui Coco. I want a little Fococo.
The little firecrocko.
I want a little firecrocko. He seems like a very... I don't want to play Donald Duck, and I swear to God, Nintendo...
the disrespect.
If you turn that cat starter leaf Pokemon into human with tits in its third evolution, I'm going to throw hands. I'm taking it all the way up to Doug Bowser himself.
Start doing push-ups right now, because it's going to happen.
So, Arceus... I'm not going to play it. Also, I've heard that it's kind of boo-boo.
It looks a little, like, empty. But, I mean, from the gameplay, it looks kind of neat. People are just throwing Pokeballs at stuff out in the wild. And I guess they're having a good time. But, no, I would wait for the other ones as well.
Yeah. Looking at some stuff here. Uncharted. I'm in the middle of my Uncharted playthrough right now. So, I don't really need to get the Legacy of Thieves collection. Because the only thing that I don't have is the game that has Chloe and what's her face?
Lost Legacy.
Yeah, Lost Legacy. And, yeah.
Oh God,
what are the two characters?
Chloe
names?
And Nadine.
I think you're right.
Awesome.
Chloe Nadine.
That was a great game. I love that series.
Yeah, I want to play Lost Legacy because I love playing Miles Morales, and everyone says that Lost Legacy has the same scope in terms of the gameplay as Miles Morales. So that's in my boxes. Yeah. Miles Morales was a great game, and it was a short game, and I like that.
They don't make them like they used to, man.
They don't.
I can't just get through a game in a couple of hours you and have a short but sweet experience.
You can't do that. Dying Light 2, I'm going to keep it a $150. This seems like a game that I should play, but I'm not going to. Mm-hmm. I didn't play the first Dying Light. People said that it's good. I've heard a lot of people review this game.
I've heard
people like say that it's great. People have some issues with the storyline. I know that. Did you play Dying Light 1?
I only played like maybe a smidge, so I can't really talk about the entirety of the game. But people have said that they enjoy it. And I mean, first person parkour, I'm down with that. It's like giving me Mirror's Edge, but then give me, you know, a machete, and I'm down with it.
Yeah, that's fair. Cyberpunk 2077, it came out on February 15th. I struggle with...
Come on, son.
I struggle with like wanting to play that game because in one hand, I've heard like so many bad things about like just how bland it is. And on the other hand, I also have to think about how, you know, how royally that CD Projekt screwed the pooch on both the marketing and the release of that game and the way that they handled the corporate communications after that game and just the consistent... back-to-back fuck-ups that they have. You know, I don't want to take too much of a philosophical high ground with Cyberpunk because I think there is good to be found in that game, and I think that people have successfully argued for good things in that game, but I don't know if I have enough time to dedicate to it.
I definitely don't.
Yeah.
Wait for the next one.
A couple of things. I am going to play Tunic. We're going to kind of just run through a few more of the things. We're not going to list off every single one for y'all because if you really want to know what's come out in Q1, that's a quick Google search. One thing that I do want to talk... I am going to play Tunic. We'll talk about that later. Mm-hmm. But Strangers of Paradise Final Fantasy Origin. Are you going to kill Chaos, Will?
I'm going to kill Chaos. Bullshit.
Bullshit.
Plays Limp Bizkit. I'm like, what is happening? What is going on in my video games? But one of my friends plays actual Limp Bizkit.
I thought that was just people being hyperbolic.
No, that's in game.
I am flabbergasted.
But apparently, it's solid. Yeah, it's shocking.
Mechanically?
Yeah, mechanically and like story-ish. I mean, I'm sure with the story, you can kind of overlook it being very silly and goofy. I'm in a silly, goofy mood. But ultimately, I mean, from the gameplay I've seen, I got a friend that plays a bit of it. And he's not like a huge Final Fantasy apologist. So the fact that he's liking it is kind of shocking.
Mm-hmm.
But hey, it is what it is.
It's
not on my list. That's all I'm saying.
That's fair. That's fair. I'm not going to play Ghostwire Tokyo.
Yeah, probably not.
Kirby and the Forgotten Land.
Please. Please don't.
Dude, don't. I'm telling you, don't. I'm going to buy that game, and I'm never going to play it on the Switch. I can't tell you the last time I turned on my Switch. I pretty much have been playing my Switch only for Hades
yep.
for a while until I decided, oh, wow, this runs so much better on the Xbox Series X, and it looks so much more beautiful on my LG, you know, C10, you know, screen natively, you know, 4K with
light,
Xbox
light
Series
flex,
S.
So, light flex, light flex.
I'm sorry. That was a little shitty, guys. Please don't think any less of me.
Light flex.
But yeah, no, it looked really good. But the Kirby and the it just looks so fun. And in this dark, fucking worst timeline that we live in right now, I just need a little bit of serotonin in my life, and I feel like this can deliver that.
Look, Google puppies, save yourself $50. Don't do it. You're not going to play that game.
Okay. We'll see. Talk to me about Tiny Tina's Wonderland.
Man, that was a game that I had not on my list at all. I really enjoyed Borderlands 2, and in Borderlands 2, it had one of my favorite DLCs, which was Bunkers and Badasses. And Bunkers and Badasses was awesome. So I had a blast with it. So when I saw that this is like a full-fledged game for it, I was pretty excited. Looking a little bit before it came out, I was not super hyped. There was nothing really drawing me. It very quickly fell off my radar. And then the game came out. And I guess really people that liked the series or were interested in it picked it up because I've been hearing a lot of glowing reviews from it, from people that play Borderlands games, people that just kind of reviewed in general. They've all said it's really, really strong and it's very fun. And like I told you earlier, as far as eating glass, like if you can get me together with two or three different friends, I can pretty much enjoy anything. So give me a half decent game with friends that I can play, I'm kind of on board. So at this point, I'm really looking to see a price drop and then trying to rope and two or three friends so that we can at least beat the storyline, because I'm always down to play a little Borderlands style.
I think
gameplay.
The D&D element of that game might just be enough to rope me in.
Ooh.
I saw Sage Ryan play on Twitch and I was like, is this a game for me?
Yeah, I was like,
and then it's like Tiny Tina, like returning to form. It's Tiny Tina, Will Arnett. They have Andy Samberg in there.
I didn't realize that. Wow.
Yeah, they had Andy Samberg.
The voice, voice acting.
So the voice acting is fire in that game. And so I was like, so I think it's so funny that I saw that, you know, you put that down, because I was like, it was going to be a nope for me, a hard nope for me.
But then
I was like, D&D plus all of this amazing voice acting, I'll put like 10 hours into it.
Yeah, do a little something.
Before we're going to take a quick break here coming up in a second, but before we do that, I know that you platinumed Death Stranding, the original release.
Oh, no.
Did you
no,
not?
No, no,
did you
no,
not
no,
platinum
no,
it?
No, no. I platinum Horizon Forbidden West, but I did not platinum
you
Death
beat
Stranding.
It,
I definitely beat it, yes.
You beat it, okay. The director's cut is coming. It came out on March 30th, and from what I understand, it has a bunch of really cool new content in there. Is that enough to make you pay money for the director's cut and play it some more?
Look, I played through Death Stranding 2019, end of 2019, into the beginning of 2020. I had a blast with that game, running around, just exploring with the main character, good old Norman Reedus, just running around, shaking the baby, avoiding BTs
Shake
and whiteouts.
That baby.
It was an incredible journey. And I will never play that game again. I will never play that. I got to the end and I was like, oh, how much for the platinum? No, thank you.
Okay. That's fair. All right. Well, everybody, that's going to be it for our first segment. We're going to take a quick break here and then we're going to come back with some stuff that's going to talk a little bit about the future. So hang in there and stay tuned. For our second topic that we're going to talk about today is we're talking about what we're going to play, what we've been playing right now. And we're also going to talk about what we're looking forward to the rest of 2022. I think that's going to give people a good window into the kind of games that we like to play. So I'll go first. Again, I think I said up front in my last segment, and I was talking about, you know, playing Sifu, still playing Elden Ring. They're ongoing. Sifu isn't a long game. I think technically it's a very short game. You can, if you are a good gamer,
from what I understand,
TM, quote unquote, good gamer.
Copyright.
You can beat that game very quickly. I am not a good gamer, TM. I just like to play video games. and so Elden Ring is going to take me multiple hours. I think people can beat that pretty quickly if they don't do anything but fight the bosses, which I think you can do. And be relatively successful at that and finish it pretty quickly. But you don't get as much out of it when you do that. It's kind of the things about those FromSoft games is that you gotta dig into the world.
Exactly.
And you gotta experience everything that it has to offer. So that's what I'm gonna try and do with Elden Ring. Try to do most of the dungeons, do most of the optional bosses. I'm very excited to fight the Lord of Volcano Manor. I forget his actual name. But he's going to be very scary and terrifying to fight. So
Sounds
I'm looking
spooky.
Forward to that. I'm also very much looking forward to fighting the Bay, Melania.
Are you really gonna, because you know she's optional, right?
Yeah, I'm gonna try. Okay. I'm not gonna say I'm gonna beat her, but I'm gonna fight her.
Poor Melania Trump.
I think that at least I have to give it a try, because I mean, I'm playing Elden Ring. How can I not fight her? You know,
all else fails, you gotta call on the boy with the pot in his head.
Exactly.
Let me solo her.
What's his name?
Let me solo her.
Yeah, let me solo her. Yeah. Pull up. Let me solo her. I'm gonna fight Melania. I'm gonna drop a furled finger outside of her boss area and see if you can pop up. But man, that guy is an icon.
Crazy.
That guy is an icon. Yeah. He blew up so quickly.
Legendary status for sure. He's
like such. It's so funny for like such a toxic fan base. His story and like just like the way that he's become this icon in like games is just, it's very wholesome.
I agree.
Which I find anachronistic and very, very delightful. So yeah, I'm really enjoying that. Sifu, I have loved playing the bosses in Sifu. I think like, you know, I really, really had a good time playing the same level over and over and over again and really deconstructing what to do and when to do it. I run into a room, I go in, I grab a bottle, I throw it at this enemy's face. This person is holding a weapon, so what I'm going to do is I'm going to do a strong sweep there. I'm going to get him on the ground, I'm going to pick up his weapon, and I'm going to beat the two other people in the room, and then I'm going to fight the guy who I took the weapon from, but I'm not going to use my like finisher on him, because if I use a finisher on him, he's going to basically turn into a Super Saiyan, and I have to fight him all over again. So yeah, that's an example of like that gameplay loop that's so fun and impactful, and it hits all those right notes. I have a background in martial arts, and so it really touches a special place, you know, for me in terms of the way that I like playing games. And you know, it's so funny. I play Sifu, and I love Ghost of Tsushima, but I wish that Ghost of Tsushima did with its sword combat what Sifu does with its hand-to-hand combat, or just it's because I mean you're using weapons in Sifu. Mm-hmm. I wish they just took that, polished it, fleshed it out, made it make sense for, you know, whatever engine that they used in Ghost of Tsushima, and use that in that game, because I loved it so much. And I mean, I still love Ghost of Tsushima for what it is.
People love the combat in Ghosts.
Do they have like room for improvement? Absolutely. And I think that like if Sucker Punch could take notes from anyone's books, I hope they could take it from the developers of Sifu, because Sifu is not a perfect game by any means, but I think it's really, really good at what it does well. So yeah, again, I talked more about Elden Ring last segment, trying to just give a little bit of love to Sifu this time around. But yeah, so that's what I'm playing right now. I wanted to buy Kirby and the Forgotten Land, but Will literally put it's a gun happening. In my head and said, don't do it.
Don't do it.
I'm not allowed. He took my credit card away from me and said, no.
I'm going to cut it in
half. You can't.
Cut it right in half. You're done. No more Amex for you.
I'm going to cut this up because it's American Express and you need Discover.
There you go.
Yeah. So yeah, that's kind of what I'm working on. I am going to work on my backlog. We're going to save that for another podcast. I think we said it earlier in the episode. I want to do an episode exclusively talking about what games have we not played and what games can we make people go, what? Mm-hmm. You haven't played that yet?
Yeah, they're out there. They're definitely plenty
so
out there.
So there are plenty on my list. I know there's plenty on your list too.
For sure.
I think we have to address. But I'm looking forward to the Sifu Vengeance Edition. I think they just dropped the DLC. I don't have dates in front of me in terms of when they dropped these, but the Sifu Vengeance Edition is dropping, and I think they're adding several quality of life updates that are going to make the game run better. I think they're going to give you more customizable options into your player character. I think they're going to add levels. I don't know if that's true. I'm saying that, and I'm not speaking from a full knowledge base, so I'm not going to go any further. Mm-hmm. But if it's going to give any quality of life improvements to that game, I'm looking forward to it. And hopefully, since I already have the base game, maybe it's going to be really cheap DLC.
That'd be nice.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it is just DLC. It's not like a whole new game. It's not like a director's cut type situation. But yeah, gonna try and do that, and then probably that's going to make me go forward and finish it. But that's going to be on my list. Trek to Yomi.
So speaking of Ghost of Tsushima earlier.
Speaking of Ghost of Tsushima, we're on a little bit of a kick here. Talking about Ghost, talking about samurai games. Trek to Yomi came out in one of the more recent PlayStation showcase, if I'm not wrong.
I believe it was.
It was a PlayStation 2022 showcase, and it was kind of like a out of nowhere game that popped up, and it was something that really, really struck home with me because I was like, oh, like looking at the visuals, I was like, is this just more Ghost of Tsushima? But no, it is a black and white 2D side scroller. I don't think it's a roguelite, but it looks like a sword fighting brawler mechanic. I'm not 100% sure what to compare it to, but for anything else, I just love it for the art style, yep. And hopefully it has a good story.
Exactly. That's the only thing, too.
Probably going to be another story about a tale of revenge.
As long as the story's good, I'm good to go.
Family fuckery. That didn't sound right.
We're going Game of Thrones.
Yeah, went the wrong way with that one. But needless to say, Chuck Toyomi is going to be on my list. I believe it is on Xbox Game Pass.
Yeah, so I think it's coming to Game Pass.
That's probably where I'm going to play it.
Same here.
And then another game that I'm super excited to talk to you about is Fire Emblem Warriors Three Hopes.
I'm asleep. I'm asleep.
The thing about Fire Emblem, I am a huge Fire Emblem fan. I really need to, this is a great reminder. I need to get myself some like Fire Emblem figures.
Get yourself like Marth figures,
Fire Emblem amiibos.
But they gotta do some extra big figures though.
Goddamn expensive, and like it's like Nintendo, they really like to put the screws to you.
They knew what they were
when
doing
when it comes to that stuff. But I think I might be able to find a nice little Bam Presto figure of like Marth or something.
I don't know.
Fire Emblem Three Houses. You know, the funny thing, Fire Emblem Three Houses, which Fire Emblem Warriors Three Hopes is going to be kind of, from what I understand, is going to be a continuation in terms of the lore from the events that take place in Fire Emblem Three Houses. Fire Emblem Three Houses was one of my favorite games of 2019 when it came out on the Switch. I was recuperating from an ankle surgery and I was laid up in bed and I couldn't do much, but I had my Nintendo Switch on me and I bought that game, and man, it sucked me right back into being a kid in 2003, 2004, playing, Fire, like one of the OG Fire, I can't even remember the full name, but one of the OG Fire Emblems on the Game Boy Advance SP. I had the little flip. It wasn't just the Game Boy Advance. It was the one that
the SP that flipped up. Yeah, like a little square. Of course.
Yeah.
Yeah, man.
That was iconic.
Good stuff.
That was the time where like flip phones were like still like a really big thing. Yep. And it was like the Motorola Razr was like
It was the go-to.
But I think that's kind of where Nintendo was like, oh, we got to make our game console like the phone. That's what the kids like, or I'm assuming that's what the executives were thinking at that time. Needless to say, that's a long way to go around saying is that I have never played a Musou game before. I've never played what are those games called? The famous ones. You know what I'm talking about? They're like Fire Emblem Warriors is kind of like it's going to be that same style of gameplay that that the Breath of the Wild.
Are you talking about Genshin Impact?
No. So it's they call it a Musou game where it's very spammy. Mm-hmm. You basically play as a character and you like run up, and they're known for their jank. They're kind of basically like gacha games,
okay.
For all intents and purposes. But you run up and you play as a character, and then you're fighting big groups of energy enemies, and you do these really fantastical moves, and you wipe out a bunch of them at a time. And
are you talking about Oh man! Wow. Of course, now it's out of my head. But yeah, every game has aped that Dynasty Warriors.
Dynasty Warriors. That's what it is. I think that's what they call them. The Dynasty Warriors are like Musou games or Musou likes. Okay. And this is what Fire Emblem Warriors Three Hopes
is. That sounds pretty awesome, though.
But
I'm not gonna lie.
Honestly, I've seen trailers for this game, and again, yet another Nintendo IP title that I probably shouldn't be wasting my money on. But I loved Fire Emblem Three Houses so much because of the sound design and the voice acting. Like, the gameplay was great for the first 40 hours that I played it, and that it was like the same thing over and over again. And also, I kicked it up to the highest difficulty, and like, I don't know why, but, and this is not a flex, but that game just like it didn't get hard. Like it didn't challenge me from a strategic perspective, even though it is a strategy game. But it's also because I basically grind in those games. I tank all of my characters. I make them as leveled up as humanly possible before I even go on the main storyline missions. So that's kind of how I play the mainline Fire Emblem games. But Fire Emblem Three Hopes, I don't know if that's going to be the same thing that I can do with it. Needless to say, it's on my list. I want to jump into it. The last game that I kind of want to call out is something that I think everybody's anticipating. Maybe some Xbox gamers are really, really hopeful for. Some of the Xbox bots are really hoping that this game will dethrone Elden Ring for the top spot is Starfield from Bethesda Softworks. Starfield is going to be, I'm hoping, a game that's going to be transformative for sci-fi RPG gaming going forward in the future. Is it going to live up to the hype? Is Todd Howard going to deliver? You know, I can't say for sure yet. We've gotten very, very little in that game. I anticipate that we're going to have the Xbox showcase coming up here, and I think we'll probably have a trailer. I don't know if we're going to get gameplay footage.
We have to if the game's coming out in fall of this year.
The thing about Bethesda is they're really weird about that kind of thing, though. They don't typically follow the normal playbook on, oh, we're gonna just reveal, like, you know, a tandem trailer at this game showcase that's going to give you a little bit of cinematics as well as gameplay. I don't think we're going to get any gameplay. I hope that's what I would like to see. And maybe I'll be wrong. Maybe I'll be proved wrong. Maybe they will give us that. But I anticipate that we're just going to get cinematics, and then it'll probably be a month out before the game actually releases. And then we're going to get a very small, localized gameplay footage that's going to basically be you walking around in first person talking to NPCs.
Insanity. Things you can do when you're Bethesda.
Yeah, I think that's what it's going to be. And, let's just say it now, folks. Keep your expectations low, so you don't get disappointed. And if that game is a 9 out of 10, 10 out of 10, you're going to be pleasantly surprised. But, you know, they have hyped this game up a lot. Fallout 76 was an absolute flop.
Disaster.
I think that Bethesda has enough riding on this, especially now that Microsoft has acquired Bethesda and they're sitting in a place now where they really have to, you know, prove themselves as being one of those hallmark developers that they used to be when Skyrim came out. Agreed. How many years ago? 15, 20 years ago?
Oh, yeah, so long. God.
Stupid amount of time ago, and it's been released on every single console since. Mm. But I'm really hopeful. Dude, I mean, if you can fly around in a ship in that game, you got me locked in. Yeah,
I wanted to be like Elite Dangerous, and if they get anywhere near that, we're good to go.
Oh yeah, 100%, 100%. I've played a little bit of Elite Dangerous. It's way too much of a sim for me to actually get into, and incredibly difficult to, you know, master. One of those games that's just like never going to be finished, never going to be a mainstream game. But I appreciate it for what it is. But like, if they can deliver an Ace Combat or do you remember in Halo 4 and Halo Reach where you jump into the ship and you go and fight the Covenant in space?
Yes.
Those were hands down one of my favorite moments for those later Halo games. For sure. Honestly, the moment where you get in the ship of Halo 4 is probably the best moment of that game. Halo 4 and 5 were both forgettable.
Yeah.
For, you know, the games that they were, but that space combat for me, I was like, oh my God, this is what I've been waiting for.
Very, very good.
As long as Bethesda can do that and like put you in a ship and fly around, and it's not just we're using a ship to get you from one planet to the next planet, kind of like how
Destiny
or one environment to the next planet, kind of like how Outer Worlds did.
Yeah.
That would be a big bummer for me. And that would, honestly, if they did that, that would make me put the game down, unless the story is just like written by, you know, I don't know somebody who unless they have like a team of like Guillermo 300 people that are writing the story, which might not be completely far from reality, but if the story in that game really hits hard, I'll probably finish it. I'll probably continue to play it, but I'm not gonna sink 120 hours into it like I did Skyrim, because Skyrim was the full package.
Did you beat Outer Worlds?
I played probably about 20 to 25 hours of Outer Worlds before I put it down. I bought it, and I was really excited for it because I was like, oh, this is going to be like, this is basically just going to be like Fallout New Vegas, but sci-fi because of Obsidian. And it wasn't.
Yeah.
It was a little bit of a miss. Did you play any of that?
No, I haven't played it. It is on my list. Like, I want to eventually get around to it. And I think it is on Game Pass, if I'm not mistaken. So I think it might be. If not, yeah, I'm sure I'll pick it up somewhere cheap. But
I'm not sure. But needless to say, Starfield is a very, very big exclamation point slash question mark for me going forward in the future here. I mean, shoot. If it delivers everything it delivers, that might be a game where I take a couple of days off of work. Who knows?
There you go.
You know, or maybe like I buy like it and then I sit on it for a little bit and then wait until Christmas time to take a few days off of work to actually sit down and relax.
Let that
and
play PTO it. Stack up.
Yeah, exactly. But so far, I think that's going to be everything on my list. Why don't you talk a little bit about what you're going to get into?
Yeah. Well, I already said at the top of the time we were talking that I've been kind of a bad gamer this first quarter. So I'm not currently playing anything. I wouldn't even say burnt out because I'm ready to play something. I just don't have the time right now. But after putting in 120, 130 something hours into Horizon, felt like it's been a good break. I'm really looking forward to hopefully next week getting into, like Guardians. They recently added that, I believe in March maybe, to Game Pass.
Yeah.
So I want to really hop on that.
Very quickly, I was happy about that.
Which I'm very happy about because it looked cool and I actually saw some decent reviews on it, but it was still like a maybe for me. So it wasn't like I was going to spend money on it. I was going to wait for a sale or something. But I mean, like anything with Game Pass, second it comes to Game Pass, I'm like, cool, a game that was a maybe is an instant play. That was a no is like a maybe. I'm going to at least try it out because why not? It's there on the service.
Oh, absolutely.
So I'm really looking forward to playing some Guardians. I've seen some fun stuff. I've had a couple of friends that played it, and they've all given some good information and good feedback on it. So overall, it just looks like a really fun romp. Writing looks pretty tight. And surprisingly enough, it looks, as far as the visuals, very good. Had one of my friends share some screenshots.
I played the first level. Looks really cool.
Oh, so you've already kind of dipped
into
it.
Okay. I did it a while back, and then I was like, "Ooh, this is good. I'm gonna put it down, but I am gonna come back to it." But exactly what you're saying, the visuals are incredible.
Yep,
and I Guess Montreal killed it, and the voice acting's great,
which is crazy.
Yeah.
Yep. So man, they did a good job. They knocked that one out of the park, which is nice to hear from something in Eidos right now. Good old Squeenix. You know, they have their swings and misses, so the fact that they could get some contact is pretty nice. So I'm really looking forward to that one. Psychonauts 2, huge Psychonauts fan way back in the day. I played it when it first came out, completely fell in love with it. Double Fine, there's some of those developers where they work on stuff, and I'm just like, it's so quirky and kitschy, like you just kind of have to love it. So I was really looking forward to 2. Took forever to come out. It finally did come out. And I don't think I had an Xbox at the time when it first dropped, but now that I do, I'm really looking forward to hopping on Game Pass, playing a little bit of Psychonauts 2. I've heard pretty solid things about it. I don't think anyone said that it's better than 1, but still the fact that I just get back in with Roz, good old Rasputin, and get to play a little bit,
yeah.
It's going to be fun.
Yeah, so just as a quick interjection, I'm sorry I keep doing this to you, but... I put about 30 hours into Psychonauts 2.
This man has been playing all the games I want to play. Look at this.
I got a taste of Guardians, and I was like, this is great. I'm going to come back to it. But Psychonauts 2, 100%. I was in the middle of a lot. I get very distracted. It's probably my depression at play. But
sad.
The thing is that for Psychonauts 2, I never played the first one, but I can say that like it is technically and mechanically a great, great, super fun game. And I strongly recommend that you play if you have any interest at all in it, especially because it's free on Game Pass. And it's just another great example of games that I absolutely would not touch if I had to pay for it. But the fact that it's on Game Pass and I'm already paying for that service, the value is there.
Can't knock Game Pass.
Yeah,
cannot knock
it. You can't knock it at all. But yeah, so...
You know, really looking forward to that. And then I want to play those two hopefully in order because I really need to work.
1 and 2 or Guardians and Psychonauts?
Guardians and Psychonauts. Okay. I really want to work those down in order because just like you, I got myself a large backlog. And like I told everyone before, I'm a stand for open world games. So I have sitting in my backlog Assassin's Creed Odyssey. I'm the Assassin's Creed apologist. God. So I got Odyssey. That's going to take me 200 hours.
Yes,
something
it
stupid.
Will. Yes, it will.
I have, well, after that, I want to play Valhalla too, because I might as well keep on playing. So I got those through. I think I can skip
Valhalla.
That's what I've heard, but I'm an Assassin's Creed guy. I can't skip it. I played through Assassin's Creed 3, so I have no reason not to. I went back and played through Rogue, I think it was last year, because I missed it. So I went back and played through Rogue.
How was Rogue?
It was okay.
Okay.
It was all right. I like what they were doing. The twist of no spoilers, but it's kind of the whole point of like watching the trailers is that you play as a Templar.
Yeah.
So that was really cool. Getting up there was cool. It was very much Assassin's Creed 4, Black Flag. So it's like, if you like that, you'll like Rogue. But
it's like the same mechanics.
Same mechanics and everything. But 4 is better.
Yeah.
So if you're not looking to play a watered-down version of Black Flag, then you don't really have to bother with Rogue.
Yeah.
It just cares if you care more about the story and the characters and stuff in general. But I played that. And then there was the game Liberation that came out on PSP like years ago. And then it got a remaster on, I think it was on PS4 or PS3, and then it got remastered to, like, the
PS4.
Is that
where you play as the female character that, like, is in, like, a side character in Black Flag? Is that what Liberation is?
I can't remember if she's a side character. I think she may have been either referenced, or if she did pop up, it was very rare. But it's, like, yeah, she's, like, a female black assassin, I think, to this point.
She's a black assassin, yeah.
Outside of
too.
The side-scrolling Assassin's Creed China game, that's, like, the only time where you can really play as, like,
oh my gosh,
a straight-up female character as far as her own story, not, like, how Odyssey or Rogue gives you, like, a dual antagonist.
Well, there was the Assassin's Creed, oh, my God, and I'm losing it right now. It was on the tip of my tongue, but it's the Assassin's Creed that you play in London.
Yeah.
And the female character in that game was incredible. People really shit on that game. What was it called? Do you remember what it was?
Yeah, it was, let's see, because Unity, and then afterwards, it was something with an S. But yeah, I played through that one too. But yeah, because you had the brother and the sister. So, yeah, you got it.
Syndicate,
something like that.
Sorry, my mic's probably picking up my clicks.
No, you're good. But yeah, so
it
had like Unity, which I'm like, it wasn't the best. And then Syndicate, which I had a good time with, but the grappling hook was awesome. The grappling hook was awesome in that game. So it was a lot of fun. I'm really looking forward to hopefully getting into that. All that being said, to say that I have another open world game that's on my list that I'm ready to play. And I'm really excited. It's a little known game that came out in 2018 that I bought on day one. It was in the packaging, and I think I put it in my PlayStation 4. And then I got to the main menu, and I never touched it since. And that game is called The Dead Don't Ride, maybe better known to some of you as Days Gone.
Cass. Boo. Don't you dare play that game. If you play Days Gone, I am buying Kirby and the Forgotten Land tonight.
I don't like that at all. it's one of those games where it was shown a long time ago and it just looked so cool. It was the main character running from, you know, a horde of zombies that wasn't just shambling towards him in a giant pile. They were swarming like ants. It was like the World War Z movie. You've seen other zombie movies or zombie entertainment like that, but it's just a waterfall, like a flowing river of zombies. And it looks so cool. And when it came out, I guess it just didn't really hit like the video showed.
It's not like that in the game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I was like, I don't know. Either way, you're playing as fairly cool looking character. I like the actor that actually plays Deacon.
Who's the voice actor?
Is it Sam Whitman something? I know he's the same dude that does Starkiller. Same guy. There you go. Sam something. I knew it. But yeah, so really like that guy. Liked him as Starkiller too. I'm gonna be that guy that says that I really liked the Force Unleashed one. I'm not gonna say the two was good, but I played it and I beat it. So I can't say it was bad enough that I didn't play it. But I'm really excited for Days Gone, going through, you know, it's zombie apocalypse, which is like a check. You know, you're riding around on a cool bicycle on an open world, check.
A cool bicycle.
Yeah, a bicycle, a motorbike. God, I'm over getting roasted. And then, you know, your character has an arsenal in their back pocket. You got the nice little weapon wheel. You get to pull out a bunch of stuff and do a lot of fighting. So,
yeah.
I mean, everything, it kind of checks all my boxes. So even if I go play it and it's like kind of cheeks, I'll probably still give it like a minimum 7 just because I like the the gameplay. I like the open world, all that. And the place they have it at, too, I think it's in Washington, which is where Bend is located. I think they just did a lot of the area based around where they're at, actually. And I just love the Washington area in general.
Yeah,
I went to, I think Washington or Oregon. Maybe it's Oregon, I'm thinking of specifically. But
I've
went
never to been Eugene, to the Oregon. Northwest, but awesome. It's on my travel to-do list. Like, I want to go there and I want to experience. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I hate for this to be like, I've already done that. But, like, I have put five or six hours into Days Gone.
I can't have anything, y'all.
Yeah, you can't.
I can't have a single thing.
Sorry. It's just, you know, it's me and my obsession with trying to touch everything and not finish anything. So the thing is that I need to put my own personal bias with this game aside and say, you know, both to you, Will, and anybody listening, if you want to play it, again, a great example of a game that where it's like when you give it to your audience for free, there's no reason why someone shouldn't at least try it out. Yep. Because it is on the PS Plus collection for free, even though you already bought it.
Yep.
I tried it on the PS Plus. It didn't vibe with me, but that's not to say that it's not going to vibe with anybody. I just don't... It reminded me... It's so weird because it like was a game that was written on a very like intellectually high level, I feel like. But the voice acting and the persona of like the main character and the other characters around it are like, this is like a very much, we're a biker gang,
mm-hmm.
and we're just good old country boys on a biker gang. We know how to drive bikes and shoot guns in the Pacific Northwest. And it's like you're coming at this from multiple angles that just very much rubbed against the grain for me. So. Hmm. I support you in wanting to play that game.
Thank you. I appreciate that because I will definitely get around to it eventually. Look, it came out in 2018. I bought it day one. It is now 2022, and I am no closer to starting playing it.
That's
so
fair. That's fair.
I would not hold my breath on playing it, but the fact is I do want to play it.
That's totally fair.
And I think finally probably my hopefully game of the year. We'll see when it comes out. I've been looking forward to this game ever since they showed it on the PlayStation Showcase months back, if not maybe the very end of last year, but Stray, the game where you play as a cat in a world of robots.
I can't believe I forgot this.
Awesome.
When I was preparing, you know, my thoughts for this first episode, but incredible. Like, I have been very hyped for Stray.
Yeah, it looks really,
very
really good.
Very hyped for this game.
So it looks beautiful. Can't wait to play that on the PS5, have it just look all nice and, you know, popping with these great graphics. And I think they said it's supposed to drop summer 2022. Now, anybody who knows anything about games, the second they give you a date, it's subject to get pushed. But hopefully it comes out during the summertime, especially because generally we know summertime is a little bit of a drought.
Yep.
So that'd be a great time to just kick back and play that game, which seems like it may be just like a little relaxing jaunt. Mm-hmm. Maybe like a Journey or an Abzu style of game. I would really like that.
So you've played Journey.
Yep.
That is definitely on my backlog / to-do list.
You
got to
play Journey. You can play that in the afternoon.
I have a goal for that. Yeah, that's the thing, is that I have a goal for that game, is that I want to buy it. I think actually, no, I did buy it. It's sitting on my PS5 because I want to stream it. And nice. I want to just play it all in one sitting. I want to, like, say, everybody leave me alone, turn my phone off, sit down in front of my computer, and just play the hell out of it and just finish it in one sitting on stream. So shout out to anybody who wants to check, you know, my stream out. You know, I'm Nikolai at night, twitch.tv/Nikolai at night, and that's spelled K-N-I-G-H-T, like the night. In shining armor. I wonder what that means.
Oh, that's crazy.
I'm ridiculous. But definitely Stray seems like that's gonna be a great game. I'm looking forward to that as well. That's gonna be all for us today, guys. We are just over our time limit here. But I want to say thank you to everybody who's listening to this episode. If you've made it this far, we appreciate everyone who's out there, and we're really looking forward to coming back and giving you more of this awesome content. Will, I think I talked to you a little bit about this before, but if someone wants to find you on the socials, on the interwebs, where can they find you?
Yep, so you'll be able to find me on Instagram, and that's at Willie Da Kid. I believe it's WILLY_DA_KID. And I want to say it's two D's.
I'll put it in the description.
So that should be the whole deal. Willie the Kid.
So yeah, we can, you can follow him there. Yeah, anybody who wants to follow me, I'll also put my socials in the description as well. But yeah, Nikolai at Night for at twitch.tv is going to be my main handle. And I think that's also my handle on Twitter. So feel free to follow us there. Tell us how wrong we are.
Love it.
Tell us how much you love the show. We love each and every feedback. If you've enjoyed what you listen here, please give us a 5-star review and post a comment. That's really going to help us out going forward here. Regardless, guys, thank you so much. And I hope you all have a great time, evening, day, regardless.
Peace.
Peace. Talk to you later. Bye.